At Daleville Christian Church, we believe it's important that you know what it is you believe. It's important to know what you believe so you can act on what it is you claim to believe. Making your life and your claims about what you believe go together. And so we share an affirmation of our faith each time we gather. And the affirmation of faith for this day is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The reading from God's Word today is from Matthew chapter 2, the first 11 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. At Daleville Christian Church, this Christmas, we want to be sure we are celebrating Jesus' birthday. And you might be saying to yourself, duh, of course we are celebrating Jesus' birthday. Well, friends, I'm hoping that you know that you are celebrating Jesus' birthday. I hope that you know that we at Daleville Christian Church are celebrating Jesus' birthday. But what about everyone else out there? What about even other Christians who may not know what it is Christians are supposed to be excited about celebrating every December 25th? I once had my mother complain to me that her pastor did not talk about Jesus' birth during a Christmas Eve service. I know, you're thinking what I'm thinking. The pastor did not talk about celebrating Jesus' birth at a Christmas Eve service? So I asked my mother, "So tell me, what did the pastor preach about on Christmas Eve?" And my mother said he preached about peace. I talked about peace just last week because Jesus was born as the peacemaker. Jesus makes peace by his blood. Peace between us and God. How you talk about peace and not mention that very important fact that Jesus was born to be our peace through the blood of his cross, as it states very clearly in the Bible, in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 20. So I do not understand how a pastor can miss that Christmas is about celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace, whose death and blood made our peace with God, blood that can only be given by a person. The blood of a son of Mary, and a son of God. He was born. And that's what we celebrate. So apparently some people, even Christians, can miss the reason for the season. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our peace, our Redeemer, our hope, our help, and our promise of a new life. And if even the pastor can miss the chance to talk about Jesus at Christmas, what about people who don't always come to a worship service? How will they know what we're celebrating unless we tell them? As Daleville Christian Church celebrates the celebration of Jesus' birth, our entire nation and our whole culture joined Daleville Christian Church in preparation. Everyone knows what Christmas preparation is, but was there any preparation in Jesus' day? Was anyone prepared for Jesus' birth? This was our topic last week. We talked about those who were prepared. The prophets foresaw the birth of a person who would be the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Father Almighty. The man Simeon, a devout man in the city of Jerusalem in Jesus' day by God's Holy Spirit, was told he would see the Messiah. And then Simeon was told one day, go to the temple, and the Holy Spirit led him there. There, the Holy Spirit said, that family coming into the temple, that baby is the Messiah. And Simeon blessed Jesus and gave thanks to God. Other people were also prepared to celebrate Jesus' birth. The wise men. The wise men were shown the sign of Jesus' birth in the skies over their lands. They came asking, where is the one born? King of the Jews. They were looking for an infant. And the wise men brought gifts. And as I mentioned, they're not gift givers like the welcome wagon or even gifts for Christmas. No, this isn't the first baby shower ever recorded. That's not what this is. These men were prepared to give allegiance to the new king. They were entering into a relationship as subjects to Jesus, the new ruler born. Jesus as sent by God and the God who put the signs in the sky for them to see and obey. The wise men come with gifts to seal their allegiance to the king born. It's probably a misnomer to call these items gifts, although that is the word. An alternative translation might be offering. Some translations even say that the wise men offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But most translations say they presented gifts. However, it does say that they opened their thesauruses, their treasure boxes, because that's what a thesaurus is. How many of you have used a thesaurus since high school? How many of you can say the word thesaurus? Well, there it is in Matthew's gospel. They opened to him their thesauruses, their treasure boxes, and offered to the Jesus they are worshiping, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were not so much gifts as they were seals, symbols of a pact, a binding agreement. So we have been talking about people who were prepared for Jesus' birth. And it's this same report on the wise men where we see other people who did not get any memo on Jesus' birth. Or even if they could read the memo, they didn't pay any attention. The wise men come asking a very specific question. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, one can wonder, I've wondered, did the wise men ask that particular question because that's exactly what the Lord God showed them in the sky? The light in the sky told them a king was born, a king in Judea. Or did the wise men ask that particular question because they thought it might be obvious to those Jews living in Judea that a king had been born? Or did the wise men ask that question at the royal household in Jerusalem, assuming that a royal birth had taken place at the capital city in the king's apartments? Or did the wise men ask that question at the royal residence because they figured someone, surely, at the royal residence would know what the heck is going on? Perhaps there would be. Perhaps another wise man, a Judean wise man at the palace who had also seen the star. Of course, the Jews had no tradition of having wise men who were stargazers or astrologers. The Bible making clear that stars are created by God. They are lights in the sky, not divine beings. Well, the answer in the Bible is clear to the wise men's question. No one at the palace in Jerusalem had any clue about any baby being born, let alone a king of the Jews being born. No one knew. Now, here's an insight that my culture has taught me. Since all the officials were clueless about this new king's birth, that means, at least it means, to the present sitting King Herod, the man in charge, that means there's a failure somewhere among King Herod's employees. It's either a failure of intelligence gathering, a failure in the security system, or a failure in the communication system. And whenever there's a failure in the leader's system, someone or many someones are going to pay for it. They will lose their jobs. They may lose their homes. They may be imprisoned. They may be banished. They may be tortured. May be killed. The ancient world was a cruel place. The King James Version says that King Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem was troubled with him, and now I understand why. People's job security was at stake. Maybe a lot of people's job security was at stake, and maybe their lives were at stake. So now when I read this verse, this is how I read it. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And then I say, uh-oh. And you know, the guy who answered the door to the wise men turned to his buddy and said, hey, Bob, we got anything on this new king baby info? You know that's exactly what happened. And then everyone gets real nervous. And one guy finally says, well, someone has to go ask King Herod. Since none of them know the answer to the question, and they probably draw straws to ask Herod the question, because if Herod doesn't know, these guys know they are in real trouble. A new king born is pretty important news to not have come to the royal attention of the present sitting king. I mean, come on, let's face it. If any one of us gets up tomorrow and any one of our wives just had a baby during the night, we're going to wonder a lot of things and demand some answers. Like, how is this even humanly possible? How, Herod wondered, is it possible I would not be told about this birth of a so-called new king? So not only is Herod, who is a Jew, not prepared for Messiah's birth. Apparently no one in Herod's household, no one in Herod's entourage has any clue as to this very important event, the birth of a new king. So let's take a moment and notice. Wise men ask about the king of the Jews. Herod makes inquiries about the Messiah. Where is Messiah to be born? In this case, king or Messiah, no difference. Jesus would later be put on trial by the Jewish leaders for claiming to be the Messiah. The Romans will crucify Jesus for claiming to be King of the Jews. I've already hinted at this question last week. What did people expect from the Messiah when Messiah came, and some expected a real king on the throne of Israel. After all, the Messiah was to be from David's line, kingships passed on generation to generation. The promise was that the Messiah would be born of David's line. Matthew makes that clear in his very first chapter. Jesus was from King David's line. Jesus will have to say at his own trial, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. So there was some confusion about what the Messiah would be like. It is also not helpful in trying to make a distinction between a king and a Messiah, that a king was also considered anointed by God. An anointed one, that's what the word Messiah means. The anointed one is the Messiah. And so a king is an anointed one. Anyone expecting Messiah king would not be told that they were wrong. There would have been many who joined them in Jesus' day to expect to see a Messiah king. However, once Herod poses his question to the leaders of Jesus' people as to where the Messiah was to be born, someone on Herod's staff has read their Bible fairly closely, and some can tell Herod and the wise men exactly where Jesus, the King of the Jews, was to be born: Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the town of David. And Herod's Bible readers can even quote chapter and verse. The prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, and it's worth reading the whole verse, and the next verse. Bethlehem in the land of Judah is another reminder that the Messiah will come from Judah, a descendant of Abraham, to whom the promise was made that it was through Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed. Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 22. So although the prophets expected a Messiah born, even though the wise men expected a baby born, Herod, who was a Jew, was not expecting someone born who was born King of the Jews. And Herod appeared angry. So Herod planned to get even. Herod was a very practical despot. Herod knew if you want to stay king for very long, people might have to die. Herod had by that time had members of his own household murdered on the belief that those same family members were going to take Herod's throne from him. Herod had no problem having his own family members murdered, so having a baby born in Jerusalem murdered was not a stretch for Herod's ilk. So Herod shows us a different response to the birth of the Savior. Herod never saw Jesus as a Savior or a Messiah. Herod only thought of Jesus as a threat. We should not be surprised. Herod saw his own family members as a threat. But still, we have to admit that Jesus came to save Herod also. Yes, Jesus came to save Herod also. It's just that Herod would have none of it. Herod was too frightened. The wise men, those foreigners who worshipped other gods, came prepared to worship the Messiah of the Jews, God's anointed. The wise men were prepared to make a pact or submission to the new king, and they brought gifts to demonstrate their desire to submit to the King of the Jews. But Herod the Jew, too frightened of his own true God's anointed one, instead of submitting to the new king, Herod planned to destroy God's anointed one. This demonstrates to us that to receive your Savior, you have to want to be saved. To receive your Messiah, you need to know that you want and need a Messiah. Jesus came to be that Messiah, that Savior for you. Jesus' name means he saves, or he saves his people from their sins. Jesus can only save people from their sin if people know that they have sin. Again, so often when we read the Bible, we miss the obvious point. If you want to be saved, you must understand that you need saving. Jesus came, he told us, so that we would not perish. John 3:16. Draw near to God so that God can draw near to you. Our God made it even simpler for us to draw near to him by showing up on earth as one of us in Jesus. The demons knew who Jesus was, but many people did not. And by the way, the demons were not saved. Simply recognizing Jesus isn't what saves you. Wanting your Messiah because you need to be saved And accepting the Messiah is what saves you. Bring your desire to submit to Jesus, the Messiah, your Savior. Be prepared to make peace with God by accepting Jesus, the peacemaker, who died giving his blood that makes for peace. How you respond to Jesus makes all the difference in the world. The Magi were prepared. Simeon was prepared. King Herod and his household were not prepared. However, the shepherds also were not prepared, but when they heard the news that their Savior had been born, they hurried off to go see the Savior, their Savior, who would be, as the angel said, a great news of a great joy for all. It's good news for all. Not because all will be saved, but all can be saved who accept the gift that is given from God, His Son, Jesus our Messiah the Christ. Celebrate the birth of your Savior this Christmas.